Yesterday, for those people who were able to be here yesterday for Emma and Tom's wedding, it was a phenomenal day where Jesus was at the centre. It was one of those weddings that was just so special. You got a tingle down your spine because everything was given to God and to his glory, which was brilliant. Nice to see some, I nearly said old faces, but that's wrong, isn't it? Some friends from the past is a much nicer way. Lovely to have you with us. We're starting a new series this week, looking at the life of David. And the sort of title has been given, Stuff Happens, Deal With It. And we have 6 of them. And I looked at all the ones that Ian's got and I thought, oh, you crafty thing. And then I looked at the one I've got and rang him up and said, well, come on then. What were the preaching team thinking of when they came up with this first one? Stuff happens, deal with it, dealing with danger. And he went, I've no idea really. So do what you want. I thought, thank you. So we're going to go where I believe God has taken me in preparing for this. And as John said earlier, we're looking in 1 Samuel chapter 17 at the story most of us have probably known since we were very little. David and Goliath. And I'm so grateful that John got stoned and not me. So, although I sat there thinking, how much of my talk is he going to take now with his children's slot? But it's a story we all know. And we know it very well. Well, we think we do. We know it as a story that we've seen in lovely coloured picture books as children and read to our children and everything else. But you might say, well, hang on, this is great. How do I cope with danger? Do we have any danger in our lives living in England? Probably not compared to the danger that David was going to face against Goliath. And certainly not in comparison to the many thousands of Christians around the world who live with the danger of dying because they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they haven't gone looking for that danger. It's there because of who they are and who they trust in day by day. So we could say, well, we don't live in any danger. End of story. Bye-bye. That's not true, because I think that there are some parts in this story that we can actually relate to our individual lives. We may not necessarily find ourselves in that kind of danger that other Christians find themselves in around the world, but we find ourselves in difficult situations. We find ourselves in times where we make the wrong choice, it takes us into trouble, and that trouble can become danger. So there are some lessons that we can learn. And the first one is that at the very beginning of this story, David is sent by his father. He's sent to go and see his brothers, to take them some food, some supplies. And he is obedient to his earthly father. And that obedience is the same for us. David was obedient to his earthly father. Jesus was obedient to his Father in heaven. And we need to be obedient to our Father in heaven. Now that's easy to say, but sometimes we find it hard. We find it hard to listen because we spend too long talking to God. And sometimes we don't actually want to hear what God has to say to us. So the first thing we need to take from this passage is David's obedience. So he arrives at the camp, and you'd have thought his brothers would have gone, ah, David, you great guy, you've brought us some new cheese, and you've brought us this food and that food, and we're really pleased to see you. But they didn't like David. He wasn't very popular with his brothers. And his eldest brother, when David started asking about what was happening, because obviously, if you've got, not Jonathan, whatever, but you've got a giant coming out every day who's over 9 feet tall and proportionately wide, he's going to be the talk of the camp, isn't it? You know? And David hears this and he starts asking about it. And what does his elder brother do? Oh, shut up, you're only the baby of the family. Nobody cares about you. He gets put down. How often does that happen to us? How often do we feel God saying to us, I want you to do this. I want you to make that telephone call. I want you to do something big. It might be just small, a postcard when you're on holiday. But then we hear that niggling little thought from the past or from something that somebody has said. We feel that we can't do that. Whether it's a big thing or a little thing, we can be put down just as David was being put down by his brothers. And then David is sent for by Saul. Because Saul's heard about this little whippersnapper who's going around asking about this giant who is terrorizing the army. And Saul sent for him. And David didn't go, "Woo! King Saul sent for me. Oh, I probably should have kept my mouth shut. You know, I don't want to go this way." He went. And he went because he was trusting in God, as John reminded us earlier on. And in verse 32, David makes this statement. He stands before King Saul and he says, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." It's a bold statement, isn't it? Yeah. We don't know how old David was, but we know he was the youngest of the brothers. He was the one left looking after his father's flocks when the brothers all went off to fight. But he comes with this bold statement. And what's Saul's answer? Saul says, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been fighting man from his youth." And apart from that, he's 9 foot tall and 6 foot wide. You know, what are you going to do, says Saul. And when we share sometimes what we are thinking God wants us to do with people, we may get that same reaction. We may get the reaction, "Well, you've only been a Christian a little while. Give it a bit of time. Settle in. You know, you're not ready for things yet." You might not know what to say. And so we struggle, don't we? But David's answer is the key. And in verse 34 to 37, David replies to Saul this. "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after them. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of those, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine." David didn't stand there and say, "Well, I killed the lion and I killed the bear because I'm a macho little young man." He acknowledges that he did this because God gave him the ability. God was the one who protected him. So do we have instances in our lives that we can call on ourselves? David said, did something that we as Christians should be doing all the time. He didn't just talk about what had happened, but he gave God his rightful place in it all. So for us, do we remember, first of all, when God has answered our prayers? Do we remember when God has been with us in those hard times? And do we share them with people? The important thing is that by sharing what God does in our lives enhances the lives of other Christians. It encourages them. Someone may be feeling like you were when God answered a prayer for you. And by you sharing what God did, it will encourage them in their situation. And we need to do that. God doesn't just do things for us so that we can forget about them and say, oh, that was then and it's not now. God is the same God every day. But the important thing is what David did in verse 37. That he didn't take the credit for himself. He says that he's going to go out and fight Goliath in God's strength, with God protecting him. And Saul picks up in this in verse 38 and he says, go and the Lord be with you. But did Saul really believe that? Probably not, because in the next verse he says, but you'll need this armour, this spear, these special weapons, this big sword. And he puts them all on David and he goes, you know, he's not used to it. It's not what he's been brought up with. And David has the confidence to say, no, I'm going to do it my way. And sometimes our Christian life is a bit like that armour and the sword and all the paraphernalia that Saul's laid on David. We try and get ourselves status. We try and get a position. We try and improve our knowledge as if all of these things are going to help us. But God wants to just use us as we are. He didn't want David to go to the equivalent of Sandhurst and become a great warrior. He wanted to take David as he was and just use him as he was. And that's what we need to be doing. We all at some stage have said, oh, I can't talk to anybody about my faith. God hasn't called me to be an evangelist. You know, I'll leave it to those people who, like, you know, Mike, who knows the Bible, and great theologists. Michael's pulling a face at me now. You know, and great people who have gone to theology college and have done this, that and the other. They probably find it harder to talk about Jesus than you do. Because when we talk about Jesus, we have to do it as David did, from our heart, from our personal experience. We have to just be willing to share. And none of us know what a word or a conversation can have on someone else's life. If Jane Franks hadn't opened, well, not that door, but the door that was there 30 odd years ago, and looked at this wayward mother with a baby in tow and invited her in for a cup of tea and talked to her, Jill and I wouldn't be here today. Now, some of you might say that's a good thing. We'd prefer it if you weren't. But that was the start of a journey. Jane Franks invited Jill in. And then numerous other people contributed to that process for Jill and I. Now you might be saying, well, you know, I find it hard to talk to people. I don't really want to go out and tell people about Jesus. But you can become a prayer warrior sat at home. Dave's just shared that they need prayer support for these activities at the pod. So any of us, any of you, can sit at home and pray faithfully for the pod on a Thursday night, on a Thursday afternoon, all day Thursday, all week. It doesn't matter. But you can become a mighty warrior for God. And I've shared this before, but it was such an impact on my life that I'm going to share it again. There was an elderly lady, she was an old lady in this church called Nellie Greenhill. And everybody in the congregation called her Auntie Nellie. I mean, she was auntie to some people, but everybody called her Auntie Nellie. And about here, I was coming through the entranceway before it moved over there, and this old lady was propped up on the radiator warming her bottom, and she said, "Who are you?" And I went, "I'm Ron. Jill's Ron." Now, I've been called a number of things in my life. I've been Jill's appendage. I've been Jill's attachment. Occasionally her husband. But Jill's Ron was the way Auntie Nellie asked the question. And this old lady, who I'd never spoken to, I'd never met in my life, turned round and said, "I pray for you every single day. I pray that God will open your eyes and that you will see Jesus for yourself." She was a mighty prayer warrior for God. And years later, when she was in hospital, Jill and I went to visit her one day, and at the end of the visit, I felt challenged to say to Auntie Nellie, "Can I pray?" And she said, "Yeah, make it loud so that they all hear. Don't whisper." You know. So we can all be warriors. We can all be David fighting the Goliaths of this world. You might just sit next door to somebody on a bus. You can ignore them. You can talk to them. You don't have to get into theology. All you have to do is share the love that God has given you and continues to give you with other people. Research shows that for most people, the thing they crave is attention. They cry out for it. Just a kind word, a telephone call, saying hello. You may not get a response, but you could be the first brick in that wall for them. So the challenge is, when David went off to fight, he got rid of all this rubbish that Saul had given him. And we read that he picked up 3 round pebbles or stones. And why was he so careful about picking up his 3 round pebbles or stones? Because he knew from experience that it's no good picking up any old bit of rock and putting it in your sling. Because if it's misshapen, it'll fly in the wrong direction, because aerodynamics will take over. But he knew that if you pick a perfect round pebble as close as you can find, it will fly straight and true. So my challenge to you all today is to go away and think and choose your 3 round pebbles. 5. Well, my boy said 3. Hey? I'm sure it's... Anyway, well, it's 3 or 5. I'm challenging you... Not 5 might be too much for what I'm going to say, but I'm challenging you to pick 3 round... See, I told you Mike was king of theology. 3 round pebbles. And those 3 round pebbles are going to be key things that God has done for you in your life. They can be a time when God has come alongside you and comforted you. They can be a time when God has blessed you. Whatever you want. But I want us all to find those 3 pebbles that we can share convincingly with people. Not to throw them and try and smite them, but to share with them, to give them as an example of what God has done in our lives. That we can do it without hesitation. We don't get tongue-tied. We don't sit there going, "Oh, I don't know what to say." Because we've got them. They're part of our DNA, they're part of our culture, they're part of us. And we can share that without any worry. Verse 45 to 47, we look and we find David's answer. He's gone out to fight this Philistine, and he's going, he's a big lad. But as the old saying says, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. But David says this. The Philistine says, I'm a dog that you come at me with sticks. And the Philistines curse David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And what did David say? He said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Again, he gives the glory back to God. He's not fighting for King Saul. He's not fighting for himself. He's not fighting for the army. He's doing this because God has called him to do it. And all those who gathered will know. And this is, again, David getting the emphasis right about what's going to happen. He says, all those who are gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves the army. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And we have to remember that when we're talking to people, when we're sharing with people, it's not our battle, it's God's battle. And we are given the privilege of being part of that in God's plan. So when we're facing times of trouble, when we feel that we're in danger, where does our confidence lie? Do we revert to the old self and go, well, I can fix that myself by doing this, that and the other? I can get myself out of this scrape by going the wrong way. I can avoid this situation. Or do we actually trust in God as David did? Or do we sit there and say, well, you know, I worship a mighty God, he can solve everything, I'll just stand here and wait for God to do it? You might be standing there a long time. Because God is a God who gives us free will. And God gives us choices. And he will guide us the right way to go. But we have to do what David was doing. We have to be confident in the God we worship and serve. We have to trust in him implicitly. We have to be willing to go out and take that extra step. And in verse 48, we see something else that is probably a little bit surprising. It says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards him. Now, as this big clunking guy is coming towards you, you'd be thinking, I'm going to go this way, because he's coming that way. But David didn't. He ran towards. He couldn't get there fast enough to have this fight. And that, we can say, well, it's because he knew God. But it was also because David had experience of fighting lions and bears. And he knew that you have to get inside their defences. He knew that if he got close enough to Goliath, A, his stone wouldn't have to go too far, and B, because it's hitting Goliath sooner than later, it's got more power. It also means that this big giant bloke's looking down on him and he can't get his spear close enough to get anywhere near him. But he's getting closer because he knows that God is the one protecting him. And we have a couple of advantages that David didn't have. We know that Jesus came to save us. And whether we live or we die, the battle is already won. We have that guarantee of eternal life that Jesus bought for us through his death and his resurrection. David didn't have that. He just had a faith in the God that he had been brought up to know. We also have the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was given to individuals or small groups of people to do specific tasks for God. But Jesus said, I leave another with you. I leave you the Holy Spirit. He's not optional. When we become believers, we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not a choice. Whether we do anything with it or whether with him or whether we actually want to be anointed in the Holy Spirit to do things for God, that's our choice. But the Holy Spirit is there and freely available to all of us. And we can do incredible things in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can be a David against the Goliaths of this world. But, and something I've been becoming more and more aware of lately, is we can't underestimate the privilege and the power of prayer. Just think about it. What is prayer? It's us having a conversation with God. You know, we're not talking to a brick wall. We're not talking to a bit of glass. We're not talking to a carving or whatever. We're given the privilege of talking to God. And unfortunately, for some of us, that's all we do. God wants to have a conversation with us. He wants us to talk to him, but he wants us to be listening what he says to us. David had listened to God. David had been obedient to what God had said to him. And he had gone out in faith. And I really truly believe that as a church, we have to be listening to God, and as individuals we have to be listening to God. Because God wants to do something within us as individuals, with us as a church. You know, we can stay as we are, we can be comfy, we're a great little church, we've got a great reputation. But I think God's saying, I want you to do more. And the powerhouse of doing more is going to be through prayer. So again, the challenge I would say to you is, are you a prayer warrior? Do you want to be a prayer warrior for God? And I just ask that we'd all go away and think about that. It doesn't take a lot. We don't have to stand up and pray aloud. We can pray quietly. We can do it on our own. We can do it in the bath. We can do it driving the car. God doesn't mind. He wants us to be talking and listening to him. And the beauty that we have, because we have the whole of God's word in the Bible, is that we see how David then reflected later in his life on these experiences. And as we knew the story of David and Goliath, if I said to you Psalm 23, there'd be sage nods going, yes, we know Psalm 23. We may know the words. We may think they're great words. But have we ever read Psalm 23 as a prayer and claimed it for ourselves? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Do we think of God as our personal shepherd, looking after us day by day? I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now, I know that those words have been very special to a number of people here who have had bereavement, have had loss. Those words are words of comfort. But we need to claim them for ourselves. David then goes on to say, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now, for each one of us, that walk day by day is different. It can be emotional, it can be physical, it can be spiritual. There's a whole range of things that we can see as our personal walk through the valley of shadows day by day. But David, because of his experience with God, was able to say, I will fear no evil. Not, I maybe not, I might do another day, you know. He said, I will not fear. I will feel no evil. And then he comes to the part that he says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is the promise that Jesus gave each one of us. That we can say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because Jesus has bought that place for me. For those of us who have lost loved ones, who know the Lord Jesus, we know that they are dwelling in the house of the Lord right now. Because God's promise is true and faithful. It doesn't change. There's no ifs, buts, whys and wherefores. It's cast in stone. It's carved in granite. It's forged in steel. It cannot be changed. God's promises are not to be messed with. And when I was looking for various things, I came across a Bible that I was given. Well, Jill says she was given it, but I think it was for me, very, very early on when we started coming to this church. And in those days, as a new Christian, I got my highlighter. And I highlighted. And I tell you what, that Bible is such a blessing because we forget what we heard God saying to us. And I just want to share a few things which I trust will be encouraging for you. And also a challenge sometimes. 1 Thessalonians verse 16 and 18 says this. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Yet those words, this is God's will for you. So it's there and available to us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, and again, this is quite a hard one, because if we're in trouble, if we're facing danger, if we don't know what tomorrow holds for us, we read, Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Present your requests to God. Nothing is beyond. You can't shock God. You can't offend him. Because God wants to hear your heart. You can only offend God by rejecting him. But even when you're in times of trouble and you reject God, he still loves you. He's still there. And we are the ones who have to change our direction back into God's grace. And Ephesians 6, verse 18, is one that, again, it's all about prayer. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. That means our brothers and sisters in Christ. Always. Do you want to be a prayer warrior for God? Do you want to be a David fighting this world's Goliaths? Because you can be through prayer. But we struggle sometimes. Things can get on top of us. Situations can almost become so bad we just don't know what to do. And in those times we hurt the ones we love. We hurt the ones we love because we take it out on them. We try and put the blame for what's going on with us somewhere else. And no matter what our struggle is, our temptation, our worry, our danger. I was given these words a long time ago when Jill and I were having real problems in our life. And they have always been a strength and an encouragement to us. 1 Corinthians 10 says this: no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And for that, read human race, it's not gender specific. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God doesn't abandon us. We might think he has sometimes when we're feeling that low, when we're feeling in such a bad place. But God is always there with us. And we just have to step out in that faith. And prayer is the most powerful thing we can do. Because God hears our prayers. And if we don't offer to pray with someone, if we don't pray for them quietly, then we miss that opportunity of being a servant of God. We miss that opportunity of being a David for God. Let's close in prayer before we sing the last song. Lord, so often we feel insignificant, of little value or worth in the great realm of your glory. But Lord, we are all special in your eyes. You've made us. You've chosen us. You give us the opportunity to respond to you and to accept the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. And Lord, I just pray this morning that people will be encouraged, that they will have this desire to become a prayer warrior for you, Lord. That they can be the Davids who take on the Goliaths of the world. That united we can become strong in our prayer. that we can rejoice regularly as a church, as individuals, of the way that you have answered prayer, Lord. The way that you have heard our cry from our hearts. But Lord, also enable us to be people who are listening to you. That when there are answers to prayer, but they may not be the ones we want, we're able to just say, in God's grace, he has answered a prayer. He has moved in that situation. Because God's not there for us to demand and to control. He is there to love us, to care for us, to hear our praise and worship. But he does care for each one of us in a very special way, a way that many of us find difficult to understand. And right now, I just want to ask that for those who are feeling fragile, who may be feeling sad, undervalued, Lord, I just pray that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit right now. Wrap your arms around. Reassure, bless, comfort, build up and enable that we all may become warriors for you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.